98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Rush Hour Reboot.
Maloney takes over. She's in the Octon Community Studios in Paul's stall to give us a quick rundown on everything that's going on sports-wise so you're caught up on your rounds so you can impress somebody with your intellectual currency.
Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians talked at the Combine yesterday, and one comment about running backs is getting a lot of attention. Shout out to Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times.
Edgerrin James never came off the field. Marshall Faulk never came off the field. So you're always, for me, I'm looking for that type of guy, David Johnson type of guy. I can't use his name. that skill set.
Slip up.
So that speculation just took a turn in Indianapolis. What's your reaction?
I think that was a slip up. I think it was accidental, and I think it's totally Freudian because he had David Johnson on the mind. I think it's further proof of our speculation from the past. He wants David Johnson. Now, do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers want him bad enough for the Cardinals to take the cap hit that'll come with a trade?
Yeah, I believe this was a slip of the tongue as well by B.A. There's just no benefit B.A. can gain by slipping David Johnson's name. It's not like David Johnson is demanding a trade or he's a free agent this year. If anything, it actually weakens the position, I think, of the Buccaneers. So slip of the tongue by B.A.
Justin Murray is an exclusive rights free agent this March, and it sounds like the Cardinals view him as a no-brainer to return in 2020. Cliff Kingsbury went so far to say that the development of Murray, along with the re-signing of DJ Humphries, takes away some pressure for the Cards to target a tackle high in the draft.
Yeah, I think the way Justin Murray played definitely took some pressure off of that. You know, started 15 games, played in 16, and we really felt like did a great job as the season went on. We think he'll continue to get better, but we're going to look at all our options. But he definitely took some ease off of that pressure, I think.
Do you think Justin Murray could impact the Cardinals' 2020 draft?
Absolutely. I think that I do believe Steve Keim agrees with Wolf, even though I don't. I go best player available minus quarterback, I don't care. I think that Steve Keim looks at it as best player available within a position of need. And there's no way there's going to be a tackle in this draft that you should select at number 8 over Kinlaw, over Brown, over Simmons, over Judy, over C.D. Lamb. And it's partially because of Justin Murray.
That's, you know, honestly, right now, stop and think about it. Justin Murray is a guy that got so much better by the end of the season. I'm very, very comfortable bringing him back as the starter. Now, listen, I think they're going to bring somebody in, of course, to challenge Justin Murray at right tackle, but I'd be comfortable bringing him back as the starter based on his development last year.
A new question in the Rush Hour Reboot. Maloney, why were you making fun of Paul and sitting below the table like Paul does?
All of a sudden, my chair just started going down.
Oh, okay.
All of a sudden, I felt like a toddler looking up at a computer screen. But the Phoenix Suns couldn't get it done against the Clippers last night. But despite the loss, DeAndre Ayton continued to show the way he's improved in year two.
I mean, this is the league. If you can't do it, I'm sorry for you. You can get exposed. I mean, that's how you have to defend, and that's how this league is, 1 through 5. You see them already trying to take the big man out, so I have to show something before I get extinct.
Does DeAndre Ayton look like a completely different player?
Yes, he does. He's so much better than what we've seen so far. He was following his own shot last night. He had 7 offensive boards, and I think 3 of them came on him missing his own shot.
Moses
and he
Malone.
Was following it, following his shot, following penetration, going to the rim, trying to put himself in position to get an offensive rebound. What a beautiful notion that is.
He, first of all, every time you hear him talk, he's such a good dude. You know, as much as he drives you crazy, catch the ball, dunk the basketball, he's just such a good kid, number one. Number two, he played 36 minutes. 33 minutes were fantastic. I, watching at home, counted only 2 mental mistakes the whole time, and how you defend a pick and roll, things he should have done. I mean, it is really impressive his last most of his last few games. Now just work on those last 3 minutes. The last 3 minutes of the game, he was terrible.
Coming up at 1:10 this afternoon at Salt River Fields, we get our first look at Mad Bum in Sedona Red.
I don't know Mason Saunders yet, but he's a pretty impressive guy. We'll just say that.
What are your expectations for the D-backs ace today?
Oh, I just two innings pitched. Do it in less than 40 pitches and be done.
Yeah, I have no expectations whatsoever when it comes to spring training and honestly trying to correlate if a guy's having a good spring and will that actually carry over into the regular season. This is something that I struggled with because to me, why wouldn't it carry over to the regular season? Why wouldn't it? If a guy had a good spring, why wouldn't it carry over into the regular season? It doesn't. All right, just understand that. It doesn't. There is no carryover. Whether he's having a good spring or an awful spring, there's none.
So Luke Weaver.
Stay healthy.
And Merrill Kelly's outing yesterday, not going to carry over the regular season?
Not worried about it at all.
Cool.
It was bad.
So
it was bad, but I'm not worried about it at all.
Robbie Ray struck out the side in the first, got blown up in the second.
Yes.
I don't care that it's spring training. Robbie Ray, that's who you are. Stop being that.
Next.
So this next question is coming from Twitter, from Greg LaMonica. Don't you think Mason Saunders needs a bobblehead night?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you guys see it?
Especially if he pitches on Players Weekend. I hope he doesn't go with the Mad Bum jersey on his back. Just have some fun with it. Put Mason. Put Mason as your name on the back of your jersey and let it be Mason Saunders bobblehead and you're on a horse. Come on.
You know what? No doubt about it. I'd have a Mason Saunders bobblehead right after he signed the contract that does have a clause.
It has a clause.
It has to. It doesn't have a clause.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Show me the clause.
I cannot do that.
Arizona State takes their 7-game winning streak to UCLA tonight. Here's head coach Bobby Hurley.
Just proud of the resiliency of the team, and we've gotten more guys contributing. We're getting better as the year's going on.
Do you think they'll make it 8?
Don't ask that. Boy, that is so hard right there. It really is.
I want to be a fan, Maloney. Why do you do that?
This is so you don't think so? You don't think it's going to be 8? Honestly, right now, I just love the way Bobby Hurley has prepared this team. That's what I love more than anything else. This team is taking on a mentality. You can see it. It's a personality. And I do believe at the college level, Basin audience, this is what happens. I still believe this is what happens in the game of football and basketball. That much I know. You take on the personality of your coach.
ASU is on a 7-game winning streak. They've won 9 of 10. UCLA's on a 5-game winning streak. They've won 9 of 11. Both teams are playing very well right now. It's hard to say your shooting is going to keep going in a road venue. I'm a little nervous to say ASU wins. But what an amazing, amazing weekend. You have the chance to – I don't think you're going to go back to the bubble. You're off the bubble. And 2 losses I don't think puts you back on the bubble. But if you win these 2 games, I think you vault all the way into the 5-seed range for ASU.
The confidence level with these kids have got to be off the chart right now.
The Patriots are the only team that can talk to Tom Brady about a contract right now without violating tampering rules. But a report from today indicates that they haven't been doing that. Is Tom Brady's decision the next quarterback domino to fall?
I don't think Tom Brady's ever going to play for the Patriots again. I think this is the first time in his life that he's embracing free agency and he's excited to see who wants him. And I think the original plan was to go out, see who wants him, and it probably come back to the Patriots. I think he's going to fall in love with all these other teams wanting him so bad. He's going to like it. I think he's gone.
I think Tom Brady is staying right where he is right now. A negotiating ploy, no doubt about it. Trying to build up some leverage, you better believe it. Go ahead and pursue every option that he has. Yeah, I could see him doing that. I just don't think he's going anywhere.
I think Giselle wants out. When your wife wants out.
Do you think she wants to go to Vegas?
No, L.A. Chargers.
Vegas, baby! No. Tom Brady's not going anywhere.
Rob Gronkowski.
Way too many examples. Isn't that right, Joe Montana?
You weren't here with
Way
Gronk.
Way too many examples.
Yeah, Gronk said he's going to the XFL.
Oh, is that?
Literally, okay. We asked, where's Tom Brady going? He goes, XFL.
Yeah, okay. You crazy man.
I was pretty impressive by Gronk. Coming up next... Why is honesty not the best policy? I love what one combine player said. Everybody else says, you're an idiot. We stand up for one man. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I don't think I would ever succeed in politics because I would assume being honest is the way to get votes. And saying reality is the way to get votes. And I don't think I'd get any votes.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert, who I admit, full disclosure, I really like Justin Herbert, the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Really like the kid.
Yeah.
Really think you're not good at your job if you draft him in the first round of the NFL draft.
Really?
And if he blows it up, feel free to mock me for years and years and years, and I'll have to terribly recant and take a step back.
Yeah, but can I just ask you why you don't like him? I mean, in the first round.
Because I think that he's got all these wonderful tangibles that everybody says that's what you want in a quarterback.
Sure.
And there's one thing. He's not good. He can't play. So that's why.
Mm.
When you watch him play at Oregon, I think he's somebody that kind of understands the Oregon system, but the accuracy is just not NFL caliber. And I'm one of those people that believe you can do minor tweaks to accuracy, but I do not think you can fix an accuracy.
So you would say
problem.
Accuracy and intangibles.
Yes.
As negatives.
Yes.
Okay.
The intangibles that are positive about he's a good guy, the leadership,
sure,
stuff like that. But the intangibles of being able to really figure out pre-snap, what is the defense doing to me, where is the hole, and then what are they trying to do post-snap, digesting that, figuring it out, and then being able to get the ball out accurately on time, I don't think he can do that.
Okay, do you think he's a good leader?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes,
wow.
I do.
Okay.
I do think he's a good kid. So this is what he did at the NFL Combine, which I so support. I think this is awesome, and he's getting ripped for it. I mean, everybody is saying that wants to be a combine specialist. What are you doing? Everybody else's opinion is you go to the combine and you lie.
So typical.
You show, hey, I should be the number one pick in the draft. You declare yourself better than Joe Burrow. You dominate. You take that podium and you show them. You say things no one's ever heard.
Where's your confidence level?
Justin Herbert was asked a very simple question. Do you think you're ready to play in the NFL right now? Are you NFL ready?
To be honest, I don't know. I've never played a down in the NFL, so I couldn't tell you what the speed of the game's like. I've watched as much as I could, and I feel confident with my abilities, but I've never played in the NFL before. And so to give you an answer whether I could play right now, I don't think that'd be in my best interest.
So let's see, a little bit of humility,
yes,
shown right there by this kid. Are you kidding me? You're going to look at that and hold that against him? The fact that he's humble? The fact that he's being a realist,
so
I
many
might
media
add,
people went nuts on
and
that
telling comment. The truth. You got to be kidding me! You know what? Why am I so outraged by this? I'm not outraged at what the kid said. Why am I so surprised at the blowback this kid is getting for saying that? For saying what is true?
How respectful to the league is that?
What?
That's what I look at it. You have that much respect to the league to not automatically project yourself. And he said, listen, I have the confidence in my abilities, but how do I know if I'm ready for the speed of the NFL? Basically, he became the first player that says, I've got to go prove it. And people are mad that he said, I've got
to
go prove it.
Absolutely. It's just hysterical to me right there. I honestly, if I'm a talent evaluator, I'm actually giving him a plus for saying that.
Absolutely.
There's no way I'm going to give him a minus for saying that. What? That he actually used a realist approach and had some humility about him and what he said? He told the truth. What, man, that tells me a lot about that kid. The intangibles? I don't know, Douglas. I like the intangibles of this kid. Now, granted, that comment really helped my opinion on that, but also knowing that he's a leader based on reputation in Oregon, what a leader he is, I don't know. I like him in the first round.
Well,
especially when you consider some of the other guys that have been drafted the first round.
Little Miss Duck wants
quack,
to
quack, talk.
Quack,
quack, quack.
Oh, no.
But he's not just a leader on the field either. So he had a 4.01 GPA in biology.
Oh.
That was his major. And he worked as an incognito TA in the major's most difficult course. He literally was a
teaching
tutor,
labs and stuff.
And TA.
That is incredible right there, honestly.
So he can lead people.
Yeah, I'll be the first one
Don't
to stand
badmouth
on
the Oregon quarterback.
I'll be the first one to stand on the table and say, I'm rooting for myself to be wrong on this. He's such a good dude. I want him to be a successful NFL quarterback. But I will stand also on the table and say, you're drafting Jake Locker. He's a good kid, too. Christian Ponder is one of the really nicest men to come into an NFL draft.
They didn't have his body, though. This is a big kid. This is an athletic kid. This is a kid that makes all of the throws as far as I'm... Now, his accuracy, I think I'm with you on that. His accuracy might be a little questionable, but there are some coaches. There are two schools of thought in the NFL. You can improve accuracy or you cannot. So, you know what? Honestly, I'm in the former that, or the latter, I should say, that you cannot improve accuracy. I'm in that camp. But there are guys that I love and respect in the NFL, guys that are coaching in the NFL that vehemently disagree with that take. You need to know that. They do believe you can improve a quarterback's accuracy. It's all about what is he seeing, the messages that are being sent to his brain. That's what a lot of quarterback coaches and a lot of offensive coordinators look at.
The reason why I disagree with so many of those guys, and I'll look squarely at Tim Tebow, he has this low, terrible release. And then through countless hours of work, Tim Tebow did everything right to change that release. Was fantastic.
Yeah.
Against air. And as soon as you get punched in the face, uh-oh, and all those mechanics break down.
True.
And then I look at a lot of quarterbacks like that, that you can improve them against air. And when it really comes to playing NFL quarterback, very few of them, not enough to risk a first-round pick on, especially in the top 10. But please do it. I mean, if he doesn't get drafted in the top 8, that's bad for the Cardinals.
Right.
Right now, almost every projection has 3 quarterbacks drafted in the top 7 of the draft. What does that mean for the Cardinals? That means you're going to get a top 4 position player in the 2020 draft. So please, come up and go get Justin.
The quarterback's working out today, right, at the combine, as a matter of fact.
Well,
quarterbacks, wide receivers.
Joe Burrow is not.
Joe Burrow is not, right?
Yeah.
Interesting right there.
Yeah.
Has your take on Joe Burrow changed at all?
No, I think it'll be well.
Are you questioning some of the things he's
doing?
The only
thing I'm scared of,
he's making?
I'm not. I'm only scared of the Bengals. I think everything you saw at LSU last year is legit. I think it transfers to the NFL. I think he would be fantastic on 31 teams in the NFL.
Mm.
I realize it's a cop-out by me because if he fails, I can say, see, he played for the Bengals. I think he should be fantastic, but I do not trust anybody in the Bengals organization to be able to do the job well. And I don't blame the people in the organization. There's one constant there. And for some reason, Mike Brown has never figured out, I am not my father. And you are not even close to your father, and you will continue to destroy what could be a great franchise.
How do you really feel about it?
It'll never get better.
My goodness,
under
Douglas.
Mike Brown, it will never get better.
Just slamming a family.
I mean, the thing is, at least Jerry Jones, as a bad, you know, he's a great owner, except for one thing. He hasn't figured out his GM doesn't know what he's doing. But at least they're 500. I mean, with Marvin Lewis should be in the Hall of Fame for consistently getting that organization into the playoffs with that owner.
It's just going to be so interesting to see some of the times that are going to be posted here, right? The wide receivers are working out, right?
Ruggs.
They're working out late. Oh, here we go. What's it going to be, Jerry Jody? What's it going to be, CeeDee Lamb?
You know, if one man was
CeeDee
still
Lamb's talking a little bit of trash. Did you see that
in regard to
his 40 time?
Yeah. If one man was still alive, the Raiders would be drafting Ruggs at number 12. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yes.
Well. But most mock drafts say it's going to be CeeDee or Jeudy at 12. They're both be on the board through the first 11 picks. I'll call bluff on every mock draft that says that.
There's got to be somebody. There's got to be somebody that's going to move up to number 8. They want number 8 because there's Justin Herbert.
No, he'll be gone.
Oh, man.
Now, the key, is there any chance Carolina does
no.
it?
No.
If Carolina does it at 7, that pushes Derek Brown. Super Bowl.
We'll take Derek Brown.
Coming up next, how can one 2019 Cardinals free agent, who they picked up a couple hours before the game, more like 72 hours, dramatically affect the 2020 NFL draft? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Oh! Talking to me, Mason Saunders. Yeah, Bad Bob. Ray. Spect. An alias. Ray. Spect. Using an alias so you can go make money at Wickenburg. T.
time to rope that calf, Cowboy. Yeah.
We have made a decision here on the Doug and Wolf Show, and it's kind of exciting if you didn't know, that we have officially named a new rodeo reporter, and that's Paul Calvisi.
Hey, I've covered rodeo before. Medford, Oregon, my first gig. Big, big job. Market 149, and we used to have to cover rodeo, along with fishing, hunting.
Wow.
I had to learn the difference between a whitetail and other sorts of deer. And, yeah, you know, hailing from the Silicon Valley, I was totally unqualified. So there you go.
Silicon and white-tailed deer, Paul, just don't seem to go together.
Yeah, I screwed it up in my first report. I used the wrong file video, and it wasn't a whitetail. It was some other sort of deer.
Oh,
and then
I see.
Phones lit up in the newsroom. I felt shame. It was not good. Yeah.
Any more? I love these stories, Paul. Any other failure stories on
Paul Calvisi? Oh, there are a lot of failure stories.
You know what? Speaking of which, I wasn't going to do this for a while, but Paul, since you brought up failure, let's all praise Ron Wolfley for a second. As many screw ups as Ron Wolfley has, one thing he actually does very well,
yes.
And we do need to compliment you on this.
It took us 13 years, but Doug has found one.
If something important is happening, you will interrupt Paul and I in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
But you don't interrupt Dave Pasch.
No.
You let the play happen.
No way.
So as a general rule, if there are 2 seconds left in a game, do not yell, "We're in overtime."
Okay.
As a color analyst, never yell, "We're in overtime."
Oh, no.
To give you the visual, quick inbounds, hit the three, take the lead, everything is good. And then while you're celebrating, the other team inbounds because you think there's no time left on the clock, and there is, inbound it in front of your own bench, or in front of the other team's bench, and hit a three-quarter court shot to win it. After the color analyst already said the game's over.
Warner gets it. They're not able to foul. Warner's going to fire up a three, and he had it! Got it! We're in overtime! 1.6 seconds remaining. Degenkolb's going to fire up a full quarter, and it's good!
He hit it! Was it after the buzzer?
Oh, come on. Okay, I saw the highlight. Was that?
We're in overtime!
Was that high school?
Yeah.
It was like high school playoffs. I believe.
Oh,
and it was actually, it was televised. Yeah. And it was.
And he just yelled, the color analyst just yells when he hit the, because they assumed their team was going to get fouled and not be able to tie it with a three. And they didn't get fouled. The kid hits the three, and he yells, "We're in overtime." But then never mind, because the other guy says, "And there's 1.6 seconds remaining."
Yes.
Oh, never mind.
Warner gets it. They're not able to foul. Warner's going to fire up a three, and he had it! Got it! We're in overtime! 1.6 seconds remaining. Degenkolb's going to fire up a full quarter. And it's good.
He hit it. Was it after the buzzer?
No, it wasn't.
We're in overtime. Basically, the color analyst just looked at the play-by-play guy and said, "Shut up, kid.
Yeah.
I got this."
And you don't have Jack. So if Paul has any more worst announcer stories, we'll let Paul go. But if not, we need to hear about Justin Murray and the fact that did he just change the entire Cardinals draft?
Well, you know, after we claimed Justin, I mean, he certainly showed the ability to play right tackle, and towards the end of the season I thought he played at a fairly high level, and he's a guy that can not only play right tackle, he can play inside a guard, so he brings positional flexibility as well. So he's a guy that we're excited to have back. He worked his tail off in the weight room, and he did all the things the Cougs wanted to see in the film room. So he is a guy that we think can continue to grow and get better.
So every mock draft in the world, quit putting Tristan Wirfs there. I like Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah.
But quit the 8th pick overall in the draft of Tristan Wirfs and say no to Derrick Brown, Isaiah Simmons, Javon Kinlaw, Judy, and CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
It's just more evidence that the national perception, the national evaluation, you will, of the Cardinals' whole line is dead wrong.
Great point, Paul.
It's a year behind the times. They have to get with it. They have to realize that the Cardinals' O-line is not the liability they think it is. And as far as Justin Murray goes, was there trepidation when Marcus Gilbert went down? You're darn tootin' there was. In fact, Cougs told us recently on the Big Red Rage that Marcus Gilbert was their best offensive lineman at the end of camp.
Yep.
And then he got hurt before the opener.
Not only that, he told us about Marcus Gilbert was not only his tangible, but the intangible.
Yes.
What a leader he is on that offensive
line. Did Kugler mention that he listens to the Doug and Wolf Show?
What do you mean? No.
Oh, well, then that's a mistake on Cougs' part. Come on.
Well,
Gilbert's a huge list.
Think about it. Justin Murray was the third string tackle, the third string right tackle.
Yeah.
And I remember going into that first game, and DJ Humphreys told us in the Big Red Rage, he said, you know, all the guys didn't realize it. Justin Murray had never started a game in his NFL career. That when he showed up from the Raiders, let's just put it this way, some of his mechanics and footwork were suspect.
3 days. Right, Paulie? Three days of practice.
He came a long way. If you gave out a most improved award 2019, it most definitely went to Justin Murray.
Far and away.
So think about that now. You have the franchise quarterback. So for the first time ever in Steve Keim's career, he's not worrying and thinking and wondering, how am I getting that future franchise quarterback?
Oh, my goodness.
Check that big box. And now with Justin Murray, it's not the dire need that all the mock draft guys think it is. So he can go in so many different directions at number eight. He's never been in this position before. He's able to do that.
And this is something you've been talking about, Paulie, but I could see them moving down as well. I could see them moving down because they have so many needs. And if, in fact, they could get a wide receiver around 12, somewhere in there, whether it was Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb, it's going to be interesting to see the way the thing unfolds. But, man, that would be very, very tempting if I were Steve Keim.
I love the idea of trading down. When you have as many holes as this roster does, you want, I like what Rudy Carpenter said yesterday, as many bites at the apple as you can get. Having said that, I don't see the scenario of someone trading up, because I think the top three quarterbacks are going to be gone, so why trade to get to eight? I don't think anybody is going to cause you to reach at quarterback for you to take quarterback number four in the draft at number eight. And then any of the players you're dying to get at number eight, aren't they going to be good for the Cardinals? Isn't that a guy that the Cardinals could really use? So unless it's somebody that's only at pick 10, 11, 12, that's dying to get up, like you're hoping that the Raiders are so in love with one guy that they come up and you're so confident you still have all the list of guys that you like that'll still be there at number 12, I just don't think it's going to be worth it.
Today it's going to be interesting to see what Jordan Love does.
Yeah.
To see what the quarterback Jordan Love actually does at the combine.
2 days ago, NFL.com posted a mock draft. I think it was Chad Reuter. He had Jacob Eason going at 15, the UW quarterback, and Jordan Love going at 20. Five quarterbacks in the first 20.
There's a lot of buzz, and I admit I don't understand it. Tickets are on sale for the 10th and final Larry Fitzgerald double play celebrity softball game on April 25th at Salt River Fields. Text Larry to 620-620 right now to purchase tickets. That's Larry to 620-620. Coming up next, Mason Saunders. That's right. Madison Bumgarner takes the hill for the Diamondbacks. How is Derek Hall feeling about that? And another report that the Diamondbacks looked at other cities. Is he sick of it? Or is it true? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Madam Speaker! The President!
I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the president.
He's the president and CEO of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hail to the chief.
Derek Hall.
The president.
On Now with Doug and Wolf.
He has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Good morning. And let me start by saying, Wolf, welcome back. And God bless you and your family, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much, D. She's doing great, by the way.
Of course she is.
Yeah, all right. Just plowing through it, man.
Well said.
Warrior queen.
Indeed.
She's got this.
If Wolf decides to come out of retirement and play for the Arizona Diamondbacks, would you let him compete in rodeos?
Well, you know, I heard Wolf earlier talk about his contract a few times where he wasn't allowed to water ski or tap dance or do anything else. That's because it's Wolf. I think most they know can get away with it and still be healthy afterwards.
Dude, but, you know, I mean, on a serious, it's got to be in his contract, right?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the reasons why we, speaking of dancing, we dance around that is we don't like to get into particulars that are in the contract. But
no.
I just think the whole story, like everyone says how funny it is and how great it is. I it's just, we're glad it happened, obviously, before he was on our watch. And I think it just adds to the persona of who this guy is. I mean, when you're with him, he's so you know, he's almost, you know, just gruff and country and cool, you know, and it just fits who he is. And we've talked internally, obviously, to him, and we don't know him perfectly well yet, but as much as we do know him, we don't think it'll be an issue in the future. But it's something that he obviously loves doing. He's got a passion for, and he's an outstanding horseback rider. And the guy's just cool. He's just he's a really cool figure.
I'm going to assume his contract is like every other Major League Baseball player's, as part of the CBA, that extracurricular activities that cause undue harm and or create situations such as that, you are not liable to continue payment, right?
Well, we always care about the health and safety
there
of our players,
go.
Doug.
So we'll take that as a big yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, but the same question I asked your general manager yesterday. I do accept, and I think all of us as fans know, they got to have a life, they got to be who they are, or they might not be as good at the office just like the rest of us. And therefore, I know you want to give him leeway. So what leeway did you give? Is it, okay, it's okay in the off season, but not in the regular season? Is it never again? When's the next time he can compete in Wickenburg?
Yeah, great question. I think if he were to talk about it, he would talk about the importance of judgment and obviously responsibility, and we're just not worried about it. I mean, he knows what he has to do to get ready for a season. He knows what he has to do to stay healthy, and I'm excited that he's pitching today because he can finally, you know, put that behind him and just focus on his performance today and not so much on that story and on the alias. But it did give us a lot to talk about for the last 6 days, that's for sure.
Do you embrace Mason Saunders bobble head night with him on a horse? Come on.
Well, I think there's already some minor league plans to have bobbleheads. I think it's a great name. I think back when I was, you have to have aliases, and usually you have them on the road, as you know. And I think back to my days when I was with the Dodgers, there was a relief pitcher named Darren Hall, and really, really good guy. And often his wife would travel with him, and they got phone calls at all hours for me. You know, it was Darren Hall, but it was media calling and asking for interviews, you know, at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. He finally, you know, had to go with an alias just because he was getting phone calls from the media that were trying to find Derek Hall, and they were just going right to Darren Hall. So we've had aliases for different reasons throughout the years, but this one was unique.
So how do you think spring's training is going right now? How do you think the team is coming together, D?
I think great. You think to that first game too, Wolf, where we were doing all the right things, especially, you know, on the base paths where we were taking two bases and going from first to third and being very aggressive. It looked like it was the middle of spring. I was amazed at how hard these guys were playing, but they've been working hard. We're also, as you know, a little bit of an advantage because guys come here early in spring training. It's not as if, or even in the winter, it's not as if they just come here on reporting day. They've been here for a couple months, so they're in really good shape. In the old days, you know, Gonzo will tell you guys would show up at spring training out of shape and hurry up and get in shape for a couple of weeks before they start playing. These guys are in great shape and they're ready to go. A game like yesterday, blowout, you need some of those to work on things. And, you know, it was good to see Weaver back out there. And of course, he's his own worst critic, but he said he felt good. That's what's so important. I think if he pitched great, we'd say, wow, look at him. He picked up right where he left off. He's ready for opening day. And if he didn't pitch well, we'd say, that's okay. That's what spring's for. Get the kinks out and get back out on the mound.
I would not do that, D. I would not, only because nothing carries over to the regular season, right?
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Especially in his case, Wolf, because, you know, he did miss so much time with injury. And, of course, I think there's jitters. I think there's feel. Let's get back out there on the mound. But he was our most consistent and effective pitcher for quite some time last year before the injury. So I have no concerns. It's just good to see him out there healthy with the velocity.
President, CEO, Arizona Diamondbacks, Derek Hall joining Doug and Wolf. Derek, I can't cheat on my wife because I'm just ugly, you know, and there's nobody that's going to want to be with me.
That's all.
So I ask you this question. When the story came out about you guys talking to Henderson, Nevada, that kind of went away fast, but now that there's a news story of the Diamondbacks were talking to Vancouver, touring the stadium, exploring the potential of, as they put it, who knows what the potential of, at what point when stories come out like this, is it okay, are the Diamondbacks cheating on us as a fan base?
No, good question. And I think going back to that time with Henderson and, you know, really, really good people. Remember, they responded to an open RFP that we had. We never went and visited. We left it open if in case we ever wanted to or needed to. And we certainly hope we don't, because this is where we anticipate playing forever in Arizona. But in this case with Vancouver, and hopefully that story that came out clarified it, but that was one where a year and a half, probably 2 years ago, as we were working out our deal with the county, and we were about to take control of the team. And, Doug, this is something we should have done a long time ago, and I think any team that has a dome in particular in a challenging, you know, weather atmosphere should have at least a backup plan, emergency plan, if anything happens, God forbid, catastrophically, or if the roof won't close. I mean, if that roof won't close in the middle of summer, we can't play here. You know, I mean, probably the union wouldn't allow it. We wouldn't allow it. So we looked around town to see where we could play indoors. We went to baseball at the time. I think Joe Garagiola was quoted in the piece, who, you know, worked for us, but at the time was at MLB, and he helped, and some of the folks at MLB did, giving us a list of places where we could play for, you know, whatever amount of time is necessary if anything happened. And one of those places was Vancouver. And we went up and looked and asked them, have you hosted, which they have in the past, could they host? And we were very impressed by the city, obviously, and by the stadium. And that was it. We did go back a second time, but that was more for a concert because at the time we built relationships. We were starting to book the building, and they actually had an event there in Vancouver when we were visiting. And, you know, we said, wow, how do your concerts, you know, how do you execute your concerts in an arena? We're interested. They invited us back out. It would have been great to come to some of the concerts they invited us to watch. One of them, I think, was Paul McCartney. But a few folks did go back and see how they ran a concert. But, Doug, the way I look at it now is with the narrative a couple of years ago, naturally that's going to come out. Anytime we go anywhere, they're going to assume that. I also think with so much talk about Montreal with other teams, even for a temporary stay, you know, Mexico City, they're talking about expansion. I think this may be an opportunity for a city to say, hey, wait, you know, look at us. I think we're ready to host a big league team one day. And I can tell you from what I saw, I wouldn't argue with that. That's they've got their act together and it's a great place. But again, not the intent for why we went there a couple years ago. It was to see if we had to play there. And I could say, yeah, we could if we had to for a short amount of time.
It sounds like we shouldn't be afraid as fans of Diamondback relocation. No. When should we? I mean, when is that an option?
I don't think we ever should be. I mean, I think everything will work out here, Doug. I mean, look, we haven't talked to anybody. I mean, take Vegas. Like we said, we never went. We never looked. We never negotiated. We haven't done that with anybody outside of Arizona. Right now, you know, I think I heard the governor this morning say he was aware of us talking to the city and county. That's where our focus is, and we're looking at downtown now, and then eventually we'll look again around Maricopa County to see what we have to compare it to, but we have no intention of playing anywhere but Arizona.
D, how are ticket sales going so far?
Good, and Wolf, actually, single game sales are you know, on, well, tickets for single games are on sale now, which is always fun. They actually went on sale recently. I think it was Monday, but very well for not only single game, but also, like I mentioned before, you know, right now half seasons and full seasons are going, so people mm-hmm. are extremely excited about this this product we have on the field, which is fun. And then, of course, spring training, if that's any indication for the excitement and anticipation of the season, boy, we've got great crowds already. Usually when spring break hits, you know, it really takes off, but we're already, you know, when you're over 9,000 fans already and you have nearly 1,000 fans out here for the first day of workouts on that holiday, and of course the huge crowd we had at Fan Fest, it is exciting.
I'm really jacked up for you guys. When you were listing cities, you mentioned Mexico City. What's your connection with them, and what are you about to do? And explain the pictures of Gonzo in Mexico City.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the picture of Gonzo, I put something out on Instagram. He actually ate a cricket, which I never thought Gonzo would do. Not a live cricket. But we had a great time. It was in and out. We went there Tuesday. But again, anywhere that we can play or will play, of course, we're going to play two games in Mexico City this year in April, 18th and 19th against the Padres. We're the home team, and I had not seen the new stadium. So my purpose was to go there, see the hotel, see the new stadium. We were hoping to be able to meet with other individuals, and we did. We were invited to meet the president of Mexico yesterday. It was unbelievable to sit there for an hour and a half with him and get a tour of his palace. And what a good man. And, you know, he loves baseball, but it was fun to be there with Rodrigo Lopez. What a star he is, and a legend in Mexico. Orubio Durazo, both of them work for us. And then Gonzo. It was a lot of fun. The stadium looks great. We can't wait to be there in April, and I think a lot of our fans are going to travel there too, and they're not going to be let down. It's a beautiful new stadium. The city is outstanding, and again, that's another city that is saying one day they would love to be an expansion city, and I can see why. You know, they've got great passion for the game. They obviously have the infrastructure to do such, and teams are trying to vie and lobby for one day being one of, say, 30, 32 teams.
Was it a chocolate-covered cricket?
No, no, but it was spicy. And
wait, it was a cricket?
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
I know, and this is a guy who's the pickiest eater I've ever seen. He dug right in. He went, wow, salty.
We're going to have Gonzo on next. If we gotta talk
about my
that.
Goodness, I want to barb.
That, yeah, absolutely.
He will be under the alias Jiminy Gonzalez.
Oh, man. So
don't you want an alias? We all want an alias.
Yeah, you know what? I heard the Governor Doug Ducey say no. I think we all do, right? We all want one. It's
secretly,
it's a pretty cool thing. I think if you have an alias, you've made it. You have to have an alias, right?
So we have World Series heroes that eat crickets, and we have guys that ride horses in their spare time in Wickenburg. Thank you, Derek. Good to talk
to you.
Thank
you, guys. Yeah, talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
God There's Derek Call, President, CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, your family-owned and operated dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Coming up next, is this really... really something that's about to happen.
For me, I'm looking for that type of guy, David Johnson type of guy.
What? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Diamondbacks president and CEO Derek Hall on the Doug and Wolf Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.